Good evening, good evening, good evening, saints. We thank God for letting us be here together today again. I am Pastor Landis Fisher, St. Timothy Missionary Baptist Church, and Straight Gate Ministries. And it is a blessing for us to be here. Amen. We hope you've come and you have your Bible somewhere on hand. If you don't worry about it. We'll let you know what's in the book. Amen. And we just want to take a minute right now to talk about some good subject that the Lord has put in my spirit to share with you today. But sometimes, particularly in times like these, are difficult things that you and I have to deal with. And that's what life is filled with, is difficult things, along with all the joyful things. And so we're going to talk about that a little, how to help you cope with what's going on and get through it without losing your mind. Amen. Amen. So we're so happy you're here for the Bible study. And I'm going to go right ahead and try to get us into the Word here today. Amen. As you know, it is our custom. We like to pray. The Scripture says, man ought to always pray and not faint. We'll talk about that a little, what that means. Amen. So it is my privilege to be here with you to share the Word of God with you, and we hope you're enjoying these sessions. Amen. We're going to take all of these things to a whole new level coming up pretty soon. God has put some things in my spirit that He is working on, and I'm learning to trust Him and let Him do those things. Amen. So I want to talk with you about doing that as well, so you can have that peace, as the Bible says, it passes all understanding. Amen. It's not an easy thing to acquire. It is, in one sense, if you do one thing. And we're going to talk about that just a little bit today. And because we like to try to handle everything. You know, that's how we are. And let's handle it. But sometimes it's stuff we can't handle. And I just want to talk with you about that a little bit today. Before we do that, let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Amen. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, we bless your name today, Father. Thank you. We give you all the praise. We give you the glory. We exalt your holy name, for you are excellent and you are worthy of all the praise, Lord. And we just want to thank you for letting us be here today. We thank you that we're clothed and in our right minds, Lord God. And we just thank you for everything that you have done for us, Father. We thank you for calling us out of darkness into your marvelous light. We thank you for the food on our table and everything that you provide, Father, a reasonable portion of health and strength, Lord. We just thank you for all that you're doing. And, Father, we confess our sins. We ask that you forgive us, Lord, for anything we have done that's not like you. And we lay that all down right now, Lord. You told us to come to the throne of grace, and there we would find grace and mercy to help in the time of need. So, Father, we need you right now. We need you every day. We cannot get along without you. So, Father, we thank you right now. We praise you. We bless your name. We ask you to be in the midst of this Bible study today, Father. Teach us how to let go of certain things, Father, that are way out of our hands. Father, there's so many things in this life that we can't do anything about, and you've shown me that, Lord. And so we want to just turn those things over to you and leave all the hard stuff up to Jesus. Father, we just thank you today. We ask you to bless every ear that's listening. Bless every household that's represented by the people who are listening to my voice. Father, we pray for grace, mercy, forgiveness, kindness, jobs, whatever they need, all the things on their list. Father, we know you know every one of them. And so we turn all of those things over to you. And Father, we ask you to give us just a sound mind today, Lord, to understand some things in the Word that the Spirit is saying to the churches. And Father, we will be careful to give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. Bless the Word as it goes forth today. It's in Jesus' mighty name we pray. And all the saints say it together, amen. Amen. Go ahead and give God a praise. Amen. It's all right to praise His holy name. Amen. And it is another, as we mentioned, it is great to be in the house one more time. Amen. So right now we're going to go ahead. I want to call your attention to, y'all know I sometimes have buttons to press that I forgot to push. But so I want to just call your attention to a text for our topic today. There's a few of them, and you may just want to, what I like to recommend, because I make a lot of references to Scripture, And I want you to take time. You don't have to necessarily do it now. I know some of y'all know how to navigate your devices really well, and you can do that and get around pretty good in there and locate the scripture. But I want you to find, for example, now, John chapter 15. We're going to spend some time there in the 15th chapter of John to look at a few words that Jesus said. And also going to call your attention to Mark, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 9. We want to look at a concept there. And then we're going to look also at Luke, if we have time. You know, sometimes we don't have time, and if we don't, well, we'll get back to it. But Luke 17, we want to talk a little bit about that, if we can bring a few thoughts together. And I want to just help you today understand what got me on this train of thought. I was thinking about some of the people who are the most precious people in my life, like my wife and my children and people in the church, my church family, my sons, my daughters. And so there are a lot of people who are like that in your life that you think are the very closest to you, your neighbors, your friends, all of them. They all fall in line somewhere in the overall scope of what is going on in your life. And those are the ones who stay on your mind. They're the ones, as I always say, who have kind of the strings of your heart, and they can pull you one way or another. And they're also sometimes the most difficult to deal with. Now, maybe I'm only talking about me. Maybe y'all don't have any difficult relationships and things of that sort. But I'm sure you do. I'm pulling your leg a little bit here. But the fact is, we have to learn basically how some things, even though we find them dear, we hold them dear in our heart, they're kind of tough to deal with. There may be folks on your job or folks on your street or in your building or around where you live, or cousins, neighbors, friends, people who you see in a situation that you really hate. You don't like it, and there's no way you can even begin to fix it. And I run into people like this. I made my life really part of my ministry, I should say, in my lifetime, has been dedicated to trying to help people who are stuck on drugs, stuck on alcohol, out of a house, out of a place, don't really have a good relationship with God, or living a fearful life in the world. I spend a lot of hours in prisons and jails and shelters and places like that. And so these things are dear to my heart, you see. And some of them I find are easier to deal with sometimes even than dealing with people who are close to me, you know. And so some things you just feel like, oh boy, okay, this is something I really want very much. I desire it. I've been praying about it and all that. But I want to fix it. And you have those kind of things in your life where you really want to fix it. You know, it's not the way it should be, and God has given you a conviction about how it is, and you really want to fix it, but you don't know what to do. So a lot of times that kind of stuff populates your mind. I was speaking with one of the mothers at the church today, and I love all our people. All our mothers are beautiful, and they're excellent. They're full of wisdom, full of the love of God, great, some of the greatest people you ever want to meet. And it reminded me to think about the times past, how God got a hold of me, how he got my attention when I wasn't walking with him, not doing things the way I should. And so when I thought about that, it just made me understand that there were probably a lot of people who knew me at the time who said, boy, I sure really wish he would get himself together. And they probably felt the way I do now about many others. And so I was in that situation. And when it's you who's in the situation, you don't understand what to do and how to deal with it. But as you go along through life, the scriptures will teach you some things. And we want to talk about that today to help you be able to get a peace of mind about stuff that seems like it's way out of your control. Like, I know a lot of parents right now are concerned about how things are going to be if the people say the schools will go back in, and they don't seem to have a good solid plan to protect the children and all that kind of stuff. And some people don't have the ability to stay at home and do it themselves because they have to work to make a living. So there's a lot of really heavy things going on in our culture now that pressurize your life, and it might put you on the edge and put you in a state of worry. So I want to help you with that today, and I believe the Word of God will do that. And it really helped me as I meditated on these verses, and I want to teach it to you right now. Amen. So let's take a look here, and I want to talk about leaving the hard stuff up to Jesus. How do you get to a place where you see something and you realize it's out of your reach. You really don't know exactly what to do. You feel like you've done everything you can do, and it's out of my control. And so that makes us feel some kind of way. You know what I'm saying? Now, some of y'all, if you haven't been here, you might get here. Maybe your life's rolling smooth and you never have any trouble. If you do, hey, praise the Lord. But I'm going to talk to the ones who are having situations that they feel like are over my head, and they might take me out because they really pull on my heartstrings to give you some understanding about what you can do and how you can have peace, even in the midst of the storm. Now, we talk about this a lot, but I want you to learn how to leave the hard stuff up to Jesus. There's some stuff very hard, and we really can't handle it. So we need to learn how to let it go. That's kind of what I'm saying. And not let it go and don't be concerned, but let it go and turn it over to the Most High God, who really knows what you're going through. And he's given us many examples. But let's read a few verses here in the Gospel of John, chapter number 15. This is what I want you to understand. In John 15, Jesus says in verse 2, he first of all, he says, I am the true vine. He's talking about that relationship, and he uses a metaphor of a vine so that we can understand our connectivity to him and our need for him. Verse 2 says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean. This verse 3 is so important. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. See that? Meditate on that one. Now ye are clean. You don't have to wait. God says, because of the word I spoke to you, I declare you clean right now. See, now are we the sons of God, John writes in 1 John. He says, beloved, now are we the sons of God, but it does not yet appear what we shall be. But when we see him, we shall be like him, for we shall see him just as he is. Jesus says that right here in John 15, verse 3. Now ye are clean. That means without sin. You are covered by my blood. You have been accepted by me by faith. If you believe the gospel, the good news that Jesus Christ is God's only begotten Son who bears all your sin. He did that when he hung there on Calvary on the cross, that God allowed him to go to the cross in order to be a sin-bearing Savior so that we can be declared clean. That means without sin in God's sight. So Jesus says, now, don't think this is a thing on how when I die and go into the grave by and by. No, now ye are clean because of the word which I have spoken to you, Jesus said. And he says here, moving on, abide in me and I in you. And as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. So abiding in Jesus, that means, and the word abide simply means live. This is where you live. This is the realm that you and I must live in, is in the realm of understanding that because of God's grace, he gave his son, Jesus the Christ, the Messiah, the only begotten son, to receive the punishment that you and I deserve. We deserve the punishment. Jesus died to receive that punishment. It was heaped up on him as he hung, bled, and died on the cross, on Calvary's cross. Now, I talk about the cross a lot because I love the cross, because it's at the cross where Jesus bore all my sin. He did that for you, too, if you have faith in him. And it was by God's decree that he would send his own son and allow him to be crucified. It was no accident. It was the most well-planned thing that you have you can count on that's been planned by God from ages past, all the way back in the Godhead before he made anything. He had planned that he would give his son, Jesus, the Messiah, and that he would hang, bleed, and die on Calvary. And you know what? It seems so barbaric. Think about this one. I just got to spin this thing around a little. Think about this. Imagine God the Father planned it in eternity that his son would be born in a moment in time, coming to earth and be looking just like a regular everyday Joe, born of a woman, unlike Adam, for example, who he created from the dust of the ground, tells us in the book of Genesis, and then he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life and he became a living soul. That was the creation of God. That creation went sour when Adam sinned and broke the only law God had given him, and is that you shall not eat of the tree of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil, which is in the midst of the garden. and the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die. Now, Jesus coming from even before then, and the scripture says about God, from everlasting to everlasting, he is God. So God had already planned in eternity past to come in, even through the corrupted seed of Adam, when the fullness of time was come, and it was by his design of the woman, and all of this is revealed in the Bible, that he allowed his son to be able to be born without the sin of Adam. And so he was there on the cross shedding that perfect blood that he had to bear the weight of all of our sin. And he did this for whoever believes in him. It's only by your faith in him. And if you have faith in Jesus, it's because God gave it to you. See, you don't generate faith. We got a lot of people teaching some things today which are not biblical, that don't concur with what God has said in his word about faith. The Bible says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So in other words, it's by faith, as it says in Hebrews 11, that we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Actually, Hebrews 1, Hebrews 11, it's a whole big discussion about faith from the beginning of the book of Hebrews, clear on up till the end of the book, technically. And it's probably where we learn the most about the character of saving faith. We learn in the book of Ephesians that saving faith is something God gives to people who are dead in trespasses and sin. Ephesians 2 and the beginning of chapter 2 says that we were dead in our trespasses and sin, but God made us alive together with Christ and seated us in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And it tells us in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4 that he chose us in him. In other words, God chose you in Christ from the foundation of the world before Adam even ever sinned. And so there are some deep things in God's word that we have to come to understand. I thought about the mindset of God. Can you imagine God the Father having a perfect plan and sending his son, who you would think people would respect, but they don't, they didn't. Some people did. You know, the scripture says that he came to his own and his own received him not. But unto as many as received him, to them he gave the right or the authority. The Greek word is exousia, the power, the authority to be called the children of God, even those that believe on his name. See? But when you believe in the name of Christ, it's not something you suddenly figured out, oh, I figure I better trust Jesus. No, it's because God motivated you by everything in your life. He uses everything in your life in order to get you to understand that I'm here for you. I'm here with you through thick and thin. No matter what, I'm here with you through life and death. I'm here with you through happiness and sadness. No matter what you're going through, he promised, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. So whatever we're going through, he promises to be with us and to never leave us nor forsake us. And part of what I want you to get today is that some of that in that category of living in life is tough. It's really tough. It puts a load on you emotionally. It puts a mental load on you. You're trying to figure out, is there something I can do to change this situation? Is there something, some way I can pray? And you know what? Prayer is a key. It's a beautiful thing. And the reason that Jesus says abide in him is so that you understand that if you're in me, that means whatever's going through your mind, whatever's troubling your emotions, whatever it is that's breaking your heart, is breaking my heart, is troubling my mind, is doing the same thing to me that it's doing to you. So you got to get this. You got to understand he loves you. He's going through it with you. You're not going through it by yourself. And he put us together and calls us his bride or the body of Christ so that we can also help each other. But now we have a problem when it comes down to that. You know why? Because we don't trust each other. There's some stuff we consider to be so secret in our life that I can't trust even my brother or my sister. And maybe you might have one or two people, or maybe only one or maybe none in your life that you can really be for real with and say, hey, this is the thing I'm dealing with. And I want to connect with you in prayer. But a lot of times we're fearful of that because we think somebody will scatter our business out and other people will know about a thing that's really secretive to me in my life. And so this is when you really have to leave the hard stuff up to Jesus. That's what I wanted to talk with you about. And it's a good thing if we can have the kind of relationships where we can actually trust one another, and we should. James puts it this way. He says, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Then he gives it with a promise. For the fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth much. He says, if you pray, it will accomplish much. But sometimes we're fearful, even of our brothers and sisters in Christ, to share our hearts and our soul, to bear our soul before someone else. And y'all might say, oh, preacher, that's just you. That's not me. But I find it with a lot of people. People have confided in me as a minister about some pretty critical things in their life. And I'm not telling you what those things are, and I never will. I go to my grave knowing some things that people have shared with me that I never share with anyone else. But the fact is, I've shared all of these things with Christ. And what we have to learn to do, that's why Peter puts it this way in 1 Peter 5:7, he says, cast all your care upon him, speaking of Jesus, for he cares for you. See? And this is what you have to know. And sometimes we know that. This is the part that got me today. I was thinking, okay, you know that. That's what it says in the Word. So why is this thing such a load on you that is in your mind and in your life and is something that you would love to see go away, but you just feel loaded with it. You feel weighted down with that particular thing. Now, some of you may have that. And if you do, I want to help you again, as I said today, because if we begin to turn those things over to Jesus, and we really have to learn how to do that. Jesus said, abide in me, John 15:3, and I in you. I'm going to be in you. My part you can count on, but you abide in me. Then he goes on to say, and as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. See that? So abiding, stay in me, stay connected. Don't go out. A lot of times I think what we do, we say, yeah, I know Jesus knows about it, but we keep on trying to deal with it. Have you ever done that? You don't have to tell me, I can't hear you anyway. But have you ever done that? Do you know that there's stuff that you keep picking it back up, you turn it over to Jesus, you say, Lord, help me with this, X, Y, or Z, and then next thing you know, it's back in your mind and you're worried again. So these are the kind of things that I'm talking about. When you have heart issues in your mind that will boggle you down, keep you up late at night, wondering what can I do about this, those are the things that you got to carry to Jesus and learn how to leave it. And you do it by just knowing this. See, part of the problem is we think, man, I don't deserve for God to do anything good for me. You know, and you know what? That's true. I don't. And it's not about do you deserve it. It's because he's so good. He is so merciful. He is so kind that he loves you and set his love on you. Sometimes it's hard for us to believe that somebody loves us like that. But the truth is, the scripture says God loves you like that. He loves you more and better than your mother, your father, your sister, your brother, even than you love your own self. He loves you that much. And so coming to understand that and really just let it seep into your mind. You know what the problem I had, and I'll share it with you, I'm usually trying to be kind of transparent because I think it helps people a lot. Part of my problem was, yeah, you know what, there's nothing about me he should love. And that's true. Nothing, absolutely nothing. There's no reason why he should love me. And so it's hard for me to digest the fact that the scriptures clearly teach that God loves you. See? And so what you got to do is you got to come to grips with the fact that it says it in the Word, therefore it's true. No matter what I think or how I feel about it, our emotions are just as fallen as ourselves, as we are. Our thinking and the way we reason is just as fallen and tainted with sin as we are. See, so it's impossible for me to draw a conclusion based on what I'm thinking or even my emotions, what I'm feeling. So the fact is, I have to learn to have a trust relationship with God based on what he said in his Word. So Jesus said, even when the road gets tough, and we say the road gets tough and the tough gets going, well, we're not so tough, but guess who is? The one who was able to bear the cross, to bear the reproach of the whole world, that God sent him, and he did it by himself. Think about that. The disciples who he had trained 3.5 years, they took off and ran like little scared rats. All but John, he was the only one who remained at the cross. He's the one who writes this text of which we talk today. He was there. And Mary, the mother of Jesus, she was there. Now I can see her being there because this is my son. And she knew in her spirit Jesus was holy because she knew she had not been touched by a man. See? So she said, I don't care what you do. You can go ahead and kill me if you want. I'm sure that was her disposition. But I'm not going anywhere. And if I do, go ahead and kill me. Whatever. That's how a mother will be. You know, and that's one thing I love about the spirits of mothers many times. Not everybody has a mother that way, but the majority of them do. They love you so much. See? And they say, whatever you go through, I'm going through. Many times in the case, even with animals, you'll see a mother hen will cover over the chicks when the wolf is coming. Like, you're going to get me, but you're not going to get them till you get me. See? And so that protective spirit, that's what I want you to understand. And understand it from the perspective of the Bible. This is what God said. He said he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Jesus himself said that as he spoke with Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, in John chapter 3. Most famous verse in the scripture spoken by Jesus himself to John, to Nicodemus, I'm saying, in the book of John, chapter 3. See, he told him, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish. The son hadn't been crucified yet. In God's mind, he was already crucified. The scripture says Christ is the lamb who was slain from the foundation of the world. See? So the plan of God was crystal clear, and this is the kind of thing you and I have to understand. His plan is crystal clear. His word is crystal clear. When we trust him, he's going to open up our minds so we can see in his word the statements that he has made of his great love for us. See? And then you got to lean on it. You got to trust it. Why? Because he didn't have to say it. But he said it because he wants us to know and have that knowledge. Lean on the knowledge that God has given you, that he loved you and gave his son for you. So that's what it means to abide in him. You are in him. How did we get in him? You know what? We got in him because he chose us. And it wasn't that we got so smart and all of a sudden you figured it out. That's not it. See, it's the fact that he chose you in him from the foundation of the world. That's why he says later on, John 15, you can look at verse 16, he said, you did not choose me. I have chosen you, and I ordained you that you must can go, that you will go forth and that you will bear much fruit and that your fruit should remain. See, so he chose you. And so you got to start to rely on him and his strength and what he has already done for you and what he's published in his word. So let's go on just a little bit here more. John 15, he says, I am the vine, verse 5, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. And without me, for without me you can do nothing. Understand that. We can't do anything. We can't even take our next breath if God does not allow it. But the fact is, since he has said this, because he said it, you and I can lean on it. We can rely on it. We can depend on it. We can trust in it. We can take the care off of us and put it on him and realize he is able to bear it. Now, you know what? The scriptures are filled with people who did this throughout the years. Think about the heart of Jacob. He had all that turmoil in his family from having all those wives and different children and all that. I'm happy God put stories like that in the Bible, I'm telling you. Because the way it is today, we think, you know, got a lot of stuff out here about mixed families and they say illegitimate children, but really there are no illegitimate children. All of them were planned, and God had a plan for them, even though they may seem haphazard on our end, just like it was in the family of Jacob, who had the 12 tribes. All those sons became a different tribe out of Jacob. So God allowed it. It doesn't mean that's okay necessarily either. I'm not trying to condone anything, but I just like to see that God picks situations with people who are very odd. The reason why all of us are whacked, every one of us, we all have a sin problem, and it's been going on all the way from the very beginning, and it will continue until the trumpet sounds. But the fact is, we have to rely on the truthfulness and the faithfulness of God. Whatever it is you're dealing with is not new. It's something's been going on ever since the beginning, all the way back in the beginning. You find it in the word. Even back, we talk about, brother murdering brother. Well, that went on all the way back in Genesis. And it's not okay. It's not okay that brothers murder brothers, but it happened all the way back when Cain and Abel were in the world. And so we can see that nothing is new. That's the point. And people who have trusted God have always been the ones who persevere. And the ones who reject what God says have always been the ones who fail. So I'm happy that God has given me faith to understand I can trust him no matter what I'm dealing with, no matter what I'm going through. If I got a wayward child, or if I got a person that's sick, or a person, you know, in my life that's troublesome to me for any reason, I can take that weight and give it to him. See? And I don't have to bear it myself alone. Isn't that wonderful? So when you get that in your mind, you can leave the hard stuff up to Jesus. He's going to take care of it. And doesn't mean everything will go the way you want it to. So think about Jacob again. I mentioned him as an example. His son Joseph was gone. His brothers came home and said, oh, you know what? An animal got him. Here's the bloody coat. They took the coat of many colors that Jacob had favored Joseph with, and they killed an animal and put the blood on it and gave it to his father. Think how mean that was. That was terribly mean for you to do that. You come, and he was my favorite son, Jacob would say, even though sometimes there's a problem even with favoritism. We don't have time to take that one up today. But the fact is, Jacob's heart was destroyed when they came in with that bloody coat and said, he's gone, don't worry about him anymore. And they knew that they had sold him into slavery and that he was on his way to Egypt with a band of people who purchased slaves. And we talk about the slavery and all the problems today. That's not a new thing either. So don't let that get under your skin and mess up your situation. Trust God. No matter what you're doing, abide in Christ if you're saved. You know what? If you're not saved, I implore you right now, believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is the good news that God loves you just like you are. He gave Jesus to allow him to be crucified by his own to show you just how ugly can be. And he died there on that cross so that he could save you from your sin. So don't sell that short. Understand that was a great thing that God allowed. Even though it's ugly, it's the ugliest thing that you could ever see. The perfect, spotless, holy, sinless Son of God hanging on a tree. Dying there, shedding blood for me and for you. And he did that so you and I can see how invested he is into your production and your well-being. He is invested in your well-being to the point that I'll hang here and be humiliated and disgraced. You know, they always show Jesus on the cross with a little loin covering on. The scripture doesn't say he had a loin covering on. They gambled for his clothes and cast lots upon his vesture. That means they stripped him naked and hung him there, and you were nailed so you couldn't even cover yourself. See, horrible situation, you know. But think of the humiliation, the disgrace, the shame that he suffered for me, and he suffered for you. And he said, as many as believe in him can know that they have eternal life. John said, these things have I written unto you who believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know you have eternal life. 1 John 5:13. So he wants you to know for sure that Jesus did this for you, and because of his disgrace and his humiliation, God will give salvation to whoever believes in him. He will transfer your sin debt to Christ, who hung, bled, and died on the tree, and transfer his righteousness to your account. And so when you got hard things, think about how hard that was. To me, that's the most monumental, hard, most difficult thing you could ever see, is a person taking all that abuse, knowing that they have created everything, and this is what you would do to me. See, it's the greatest betrayal that has ever happened. We thought what Judas did was a big betrayal, and it was. But imagine that, the betrayal of Christ. He was betrayed by us all as he hung there on the cross, having done nothing, having no sin of his own, only having been satisfactory to God the Father the whole time. And he did that in order to allow us to realize that he loves us. Whatever trouble you have, I got it. If you can't handle it, I can. I will be with you always, even to the end of the world. He promises this. He dispatches us out to share this good news with everybody. So if you're listening to me today, I want you to know that good news is for you. Whatever you've done, Jesus paid the bill entirely. And all you need to do is trust him, believe in him, lean on him. See? And when you do that, cast your care on him. Let him take the load. Leave the hard stuff up to him. And you rejoice in the fact that I love you, I chose you, I called you, and I'm with you, and I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Any problem you have, I have. And I have the solution, and I'm able to take you through it and give you peace. That's why Isaiah 26, y'all heard me quote this one, is one of my favorite scriptures. I shouldn't say that. I say it about everyone. But the fact is, he says there that the Lord will give perfect peace to the one whose mind is stayed on him. See, if you can keep your mind stayed on him, then you will get a peace that passeth all understanding. You can turn it over to God. Say, God, I know this problem is X, Y, or Z, whatever it is. You know what it is. I know what it is. But I'm leaving it with you. It's out of my control. But I believe that you can handle it because I saw what you did. The epic of the cross is so amazing. It's the most amazing thing that the world has ever beheld. That God loved you that much that he allowed that humiliation, that disgrace, that shame. It says that for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So that shows you what Jesus went through. He did successfully. You know, he endured the cross, but it was for the joy that was set before him that he endured the cross. And he despised the shame. He was able to hate how disgraceful it was. And you know what? When you hate something, it's not sin necessarily. That's just people, other people. It didn't say he hated the people. He hated the shame and the disgrace and the humiliation. See? And hate is a strong emotion. So we really need to learn to put that one in check. That's why I said there will be no political solution to the problem of racism and hatred and all that. There will not be a political solution for that. The only solution is get your heart clean before the Most High God who gave his son and allowed him to be humiliated and disgraced for wretches like us. See, when we do that, that's when we're going to understand that racism is a horrible sin and we should all not practice it. Something we should denounce when we think about the Son of God, perfect, spotless, holy, righteous, pure, hanging there bleeding and dying for wretches like us. See, so we got to take that hard stuff, turn it over to Jesus. Now let's get back to John 15 and I'll try to bring you around to the other text that I wanted you to see. Here I want you to see, he says in verse 6, John 15, 6, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire and they are burned. Now that's a picture of people who do not trust and hang on to Christ with all their heart. So that's what I'm doing. That's what I want to admonish you to do. Hold on to Christ, whatever you're going through. See, don't get cast into the fire or pruned off of the vine. Allow your faith to let you cling to Jesus with all your might. See, everything else is worth way less. There's nothing in this world that's worth more. A songwriter said, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. They understood, I'm holding on to Jesus with all my might, and I'll let anything else go. See, so we got to get there in our minds where we're not hung up on silver and gold and all that. It's okay to have that stuff, but I'd rather have Jesus, somebody wrote in a song, than silver and gold. See, so we have to have the right mindset, how we can transfer difficult emotions, anxieties, pressures, things of that sort, situations that we can't handle or don't know what to do with, or that I'm at my wit's end with it and I can't deal with it anymore. See, we got to get that kind of stuff off our chest. And we do that through a spiritual transaction of casting our care upon him. And the word cast is like ekbalo. It means to throw it. Take it off of me and cast it up on Jesus. See, get it off of you. Lay your burden down, the old heads used to say. You know, we still say it. I feel better because I laid my burdens down. I got that weightful situation off of me and I gave it to Jesus. See? And he is able to carry it. Because if he endured that cross, he can handle every little problem that you and I are having. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to stop right there and give him praise. But let's look here now. Moving on. Verse 7. If he abide in me, he says, and my words. This is the critical verse. John 15, 7. If he abide in me and my words abide in me, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. See, doesn't mean it'll be immediate, but you can ask God anything you want. Abide in him. And you can ask what you will. See? And he says, and it shall be done unto you. So if you need something, and it's that critical, it's too heavy for you to deal with, turn it over to Jesus. Cast it up on him. He says, and doesn't mean it'll be an instantaneous thing. But I'm holding on to you no matter what happens. Because I need you more than I need anything, anywhere, at any time. See? And we have to have that serious devotion and commitment. Herein is my Father glorified. Now, this is the benefit of when you give your, you abide in Jesus no matter what you're going through. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. God wants you to be fruitful. He wants other people to be saved because of how you hold on to Christ and that you keep him in the forefront of your life. See? And he wants us to bear fruit. That's what the branch does. Imagine this is the vine, just for a terrible metaphor, and these are the branches. You only see the fruit out here on the ends of the branches. And the vine supports the branches. See? And the fruit pops out on the little ends like grapes or apples or peaches or whatever they are. But God uses that whole stream where we abide in Christ. And he tends to it to make sure that fruit is produced out on the branches. So we want to stay in him. There is no problem too big nor too small for him. And so that's what I want you to understand. And this will help you have some peace that passeth all understanding. I want to give you one example. Our time's getting away really quick. I hate that every time we start in the Word. Seems like it just zips by. Here in Mark chapter 9, Jesus and James and John had went up into the mountain that we call the Mount of Transfiguration. And they saw a vision up there as Jesus peeled back his external glory and his external flesh and allowed them to see his glory, the glory that was shining through him, and it was bright. He was transfigured, is the way it says there in the text. In other words, he had a brilliance glowing about himself that they knew had to be divine, that was from God. Peter got kind of hung up in the moment. It says there Elijah and Moses appeared with him. Wow, well, that must have been quite an experience up there in the holy mountain. And you look and you see Jesus transfigured, and next thing you know, there's Moses and Elijah. What's amazing is that they could recognize Moses and Elijah, who had lived generations before they were ever thought of. And they knew, boy, that's Moses and that's Elijah. There's some supernatural things that God can reveal to you in the spirit. And so they understood in the spirit, this is Moses and Elijah. And Peter, with his inimitable way, he says, well, it's good for us to be here, Lord. Let us build three tabernacles and worship one for you, one for Elijah, and one for Moses. Boy, that sounded like a good idea. And until the voice came from heaven, a cloud drops down on the whole scene, and they are fearful now even more because it's coming from heaven, it's Almighty God. And they hear a voice that thunders out of the cloud and says, this is my beloved Son. Hear ye him. In other words, not Moses, not Elijah. You won't be saved by the law. You will not be saved by the prophets. Moses was a symbol of the law. Elijah, a symbol of the prophets. But you will only be saved by my Son. Christ is the Savior of the world. He is way higher than any other prophet or even the giver of the law because he is God the Son in the flesh. And so anyway, this experience, Peter stuck his foot in his mouth again as usual. And so they're coming down from the mountain and they find down in the valley. The other disciples who stayed down were grappling with a man who had a son that had an unclean spirit, and they were messing around with him trying to get the unclean spirit out of the young man. So I just give you a synopsis of the story to speed up the time. You can read that ninth chapter of Mark, and you'll get this. But what I want you to see is the solution. When they come down from the mountain, they're having this big thing with the other disciples down there trying to figure out what to do about the man who had a son that had an unclean spirit. And it goes on to say here that verse number 19, let's back up to 18, Mark 9 and 18, and wheresoever he taketh him, this is the father explaining the dilemma of his son who was possessed with a demon, and wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and he gnasheth it with his teeth, and he pineth away, and I spake to your disciples, and that they should cast him out, and they could not. Wow, what a tragedy. You all up here having a heavenly experience, and these down here are failing. They can't do anything because Jesus is not there. And I asked your disciples to get this demon out of my son, and nothing could be done. And they bring this problem to Jesus. And he says here, verse 19, Jesus answered and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him here to me. Bring him here. You people, I don't know how to put up with you. He says, you faithless generation. It's amazing. And he's talking about the other disciples who were there trying to deal with this problem. And they brought him unto him, verse 20, Mark 9 and 20. They brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it since this came of him? How long has he been messed up like this? Modern translation. And he said, of a child from his birth, he's always been messed up like this. And oftentimes it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, the man, the father says, if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. He says to Jesus, if you can do anything, would you help us? You know, he looked at the bad job that the other disciples had done. And now he questions Jesus, if you can do anything, would you help us? Verse 23, this is where I want you to go. And Jesus said to him, if ye canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. If you just believe, all things are possible to you. Just believe. Makes no difference what you're going through, how long you've been going through it, how much trouble it is, who tried to help and couldn't. You know, no matter how big or how small the problem is, you can trust Jesus. He said, if you can believe, all things are possible. Do you believe? If so, all things are possible to you who believe. Keep trusting and don't give up. The devil wants you to say, oh, this is over your head. I'm taking you out. He wants to give you a grim outlook about what's going on with your situation. But Jesus said, if you can just believe, all things are possible. And straightway, the father of the child cried out, this is the problem here, and he said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. He says, yeah, Lord, I believe, but evidently not enough. Have you felt like that before? Yeah, Lord, I believe, but I guess I don't believe enough. It's kind of how we get sometimes. Have our own little pity party. You know, yeah, I believe, oh yeah, but evidently not enough. Help my unbelief. We're all in that situation. We need to believe more. I want you to press beyond where you are in your faith and trust God even more. Take yourself closer to the Lord. Take yourself deeper into the Lord. Meditate in His law day and night, like He told Joshua, Joshua 1:8. He says that never let the book of this word, I'm going to say the word, He said the law, depart from out of your mouth. Keep it in your mouth. Keep speaking my word over and over. He says, and therefore you will make your way prosperous and have good success. Because you stay in my word, you meditate in my law day and night. You'll be like the psalmist in Psalm 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. We got to change what we think and how we respond to situations. And if we have faith, if we can just believe, all things are possible, Jesus said. So this man says, help my unbelief. Verse 25, Mark 9, 25, when Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter in no more into him. So he told him, I'm putting you out and you stay out. And so that's what I'd like for God to do for me for some situations. Put it out, let it stay out. I don't ever want it to come back again. So by faith, embrace that. Say, what he did for one, he'll do for you. He did it for another, he'll do it for you. He will take care of the problem, but you and I have to embrace it by faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Keep on trusting God, he'll make a way. And it says here, and the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him, and he was as one dead. It looked like it killed him when the evil spirit came out of the son. And he said, insomuch that he said, he is dead. Oh, well, looks like that's it for him. That's what everybody said. Because it looked like he died when the evil spirit came out of him. See? But the fact is, it says here, but Jesus took him by the hand. He lifted him up and he arose. And when he was coming to the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could we not cast him out? And he said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. See that? So we need to set up a diligent campaign against the enemy and his tricks and his devices that he uses against our loved ones, people we love, even ourselves. Maybe we've got some hang-ups that we could get rid of if we just learn to abide in Christ, stay in his word, meditate in his law day and night, turn it over to him, fast and pray, seek his face, turn from our wicked ways. He said he'll hear from heaven, forgive our sin, and heal our land. Amen. That's what it was on my spirit today. So remember that whatever you're going through, leave the hard stuff up to Jesus. And we do that by faith, just abiding in him. I'm going to close today with a word of prayer. And I hope this message has helped you. I hope you got some out of it. It seemed a little kind of patchwork to some degree. But I believe the Holy Spirit wanted you to hear the verses that we have talked about and get the context of what we have said. But God loves you. And if you're not saved, pray with me. And I pray God will deliver you. Eternal God, in the name of Jesus, we praise you today, Father. We bless you. We realize that there are conditions in our lives sometimes, Father, that seem surpassing and overwhelming, Father God, but we know you are great. You are awesome. You can do anything but fail. And so, Father, we've read time after time after time after time and time again in your word how you delivered people from situations, Father, that were way over their head, that seemed like they would consume them and that they would be overwhelmed and overtaken. But you said through David in the Psalms that even though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, that we should fear no evil, for you will be with us. And you said your rod and your staff would comfort us, that you prepare a table before us in the presence of our enemies. And so, Father, we just bless you today. We just turn over every situation that's way over our head, and we feel like we've done everything we can. And so, Father, we just stand. We take a stand, Lord God, in your word and in your power and in your mercy and in your grace and in your deliverance. And so, Father, we're just going to leave the problem with you. Stuff is so hard, we felt like we couldn't do anything more about it. And so, Father, we ask you to exchange that grief that we release to you for peace that passeth all understanding. And, Father, we'll be careful to rejoice and give the praise report and shout hallelujah to your name when you break the situation. And, Father, we just love you right now, Father. We praise you right now. We bless you right now, Father. We just turn it over to you right now. And, Father, we're looking for the praise report to come back from all your children who are embracing what you have said in your word. Help us to abide in you. Like you said in Luke 18, that man ought to always pray and not faint. And so, Father, teach us to pray. Be steadfast in prayer and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And, Father, we'll give you all the honor, the praise, and the glory. Anybody who's praying with us right now, Lord, who wasn't saved, give them that assurance that what you did out on Calvary was for them. And when you got out of that grave, it was for them. That you died and you rose again in order to give them eternal life. And it is free. All they need to do right now is receive the grace of God. We pray that you receive it right now in the name of Jesus. And bless us, oh God, until we come back together again. We give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glories. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. Go ahead and give God your best praise. Amen. See you on Sunday, Lord's will.